Mishnah on Sadi Tesem Beis at the beginning of the paragraph. I think this is like the last sugya on Sadi Tesem Beis we're going to do. I guess tomorrow we'll move on, unless we don't finish this today. But the Mishnah on Sadi Tesem Beis discusses that afilu onish b'Yisrael yivchus l'midal kosos shliyan v'afilu min ha-tamchli. No matter how poor a person is, he's got to do dal kosos, even if it comes from the tamchli, even if the money that he gets from it has to be collected from tzedakah funds. So we pointed out that the halacha generally is that when it comes to spending money on a mitzvah, the Gemara Maseches Ksuvos tells us how much do you spend on a mitzvah if you're tight on funds. The Gemara says, well, shlish is for hider mitzvah, one-fifth. Hamavazviz alivazviz yoser michomesh. A person should not, it's asur, to spend more than a chomesh, more than 20% of your money on a mitzvah. So the question then becomes, well, wait a second, if you have an ani who needs dalikosos, the Mishnah says, he's collecting tzedakah, which means this is way more than a fifth of his money. He doesn't have anything. And he's collecting from the tamchui, and still, for the sake of the mitzvah, we make him even collect from the tamchui. And it, just to put it more strongly, you might say, no, the din of afilum and the tamchui is not a din of what he has to spend. Maybe he doesn't have to spend anything on the mitzvah. The whole point is afilum and the tamchui means that we, the gaboi tzedakah, the people who run the tzedakah funds, need to make sure to provide him with dalut kosos. That should be part of the service that we give him. That should be one of the things that we give him. But in a chidami, maybe he has no responsibility to spend anything if he doesn't have the money. Maybe he also, it's just hamavazviz alivazviz yosem mechomesh, only has to spend up 20% of his money. The gabayim of the tzedakah funds need to take care of him. So that's a possibility in terms of reading our Mishnah. But we're going to find that at least when it comes to certain issues of Prisum Minisa, that Chazal and the Rishonim say that afilu mocher ksuso, that you even have to sell your clothing in order to be able to fulfill that mitzvah, the mitzvahs that involve Prisum Minisa. Now, if that's the case, that afilu mocher ksuso, you even have to sell your clothing, so that's already clearly spending more than a fifth when one is mocher ksuso. So did you have a chance to look at the Avnei Nezer? Did you look at the Avnei Nezer? Do you have it? Do you have it out? Anyone have it? So the Avnei Nezer is a tshuva. Is it here? No, it's not.
It's over there.
What? Yeah, let me just grab it. So there's discussion in the Achronim about... Let's assume for a moment that you do have to spend more than a fifth, and you have to spend everything you've got. Thank you very much. That you have to spend everything you've got in order to fulfill a mitzvah that involves Prisum Minisa. Why? What's the svara that you have to do it? What was it? Tav Kof Aleph? You have an idea? You remember? Oh, right. Yeah, Tav Kof Aleph. So, thank you. So, the Avnei Nezer discusses this issue. Of why would you have to spend more? Dafka, because it's Prisum Minisa. And just to strengthen the question a little bit, it's not just that it's Prisum Minisa, that you're spending more, it's that you're spending more for a lesser mitzvah. In the Dalit Kosos, is mitzvah Daraisa or Darabanan? Darabanan. Ner Chanukah, Daraisa or Darabanan? Darabanan. So for Dalit Minim, let's say, is mitzvah Daraisa, it's Amavaz, it's Alivaz, it's Yasmi Chamesh. Then all of a sudden you get a mitzvah d'rabbanan, like Ner Chanukah, like Dalit Kosos, and you have to sell your clothing, and you have to... Why do you have to sell your clothing? Why do you have to go so far for something that involves Prisum Minisa? So he says as follows. One second. Where is it? So he says as follows. Okay, it may be a little more involved. Did you look at the Magen Mishnah? You got the Magen Mishnah with the Kalvachomer?
Yes, you didn't look at the Magen
Mishnah. Oh, you didn't. You didn't look at the Magen Mishnah. Okay. So you know what? So let's hold off on this for a second, and by way of, you know, we'll work our way in backwards to this. Let's first go with the Rav Yosef Engel, and we'll work our way backwards into the Avnei Nezer. Rav Yosef Engel deals with the following issue. Nasfanda Raisa, That's Rabbi Yosef Engel. So in the Araisa, he, in general, the Sefer discusses different issues that he thought of, you know, Shas topics, not really topics that the Gemara talks about, more like topics that affect all of Shas, you know, even though they're not really specifically discussed in the Gemara. He's a very creative thinker, and a lot of times he'll say, I had this idea, so what's the halach in this case, and then I got 25 rayas one way or 25 rayas the other way. Very, very big bucky. So Rabbi Yosef Engel has, in one of his shortest pieces, in Asfan D'Araisa, Asfan D'Araisa is a little safer, you saw it published together with Lekach Tov. It's a tiny little sefer. He actually writes it. The Hakdama to Asfan D'Araisa is like 3 lines long. And in the Hakdama, what? Yeah, we should do it. It would be a short shiur. The Hakdama to Asfan D'Araisa is, I know it's a really tiny sefer, and people are going to be wondering why I published something so small, but, you know, it just takes a lot of time to publish. Believe me, I have a lot more written that I want to write still and I want to publish, but, you know, take this for now. You know, it's like... Like he's apologizing for publishing Asfan D'Araisa, but it's an unbelievably entertaining, fascinating, brilliant sefer. So in Klal Yud Gimel he starts up by saying, "Bo yivuar misha onus milkay mitzvah sasei, ima onus potul legamri, odum mechuyvo leshein yochol lekayim chuyvo." When we say that a person is onus and he can't do a mitzvah sasei, right? We have a concept of onus rachman apatre. I want to be able to do the mitzvah, but I have no money. There's no lulav and esrog available to me within hundreds of miles. I tried. I did research. I got. It all fell apart. We couldn't get anything. So onus, right? Onus rachman apatre. So what does that mean? Does that mean he's completely pater, but or entirely it's ki'ilu we never had this mitzvah, or no? He has a mitzvah. But he couldn't do it. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to forgive that. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll look past it. So, we'll meaning, is it like bedochak, that like you had this chiyuv the whole time, it's just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to look past it? Or the first way was, no. That it's ki'ilu, he's not mitzuva in this mitzvah at all. So he starts with the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Tzadi Dalar and Beis. The Gemara tells us, Amai Sabah de Mechad, Shabikesh Lasos Tshuva. A guy wanted to do tshuva. The guy was a ganav. He stole from everybody. And he decided he wanted to do tshuva. So Amar lo ishto reka, imatos tshuva afilu avnei teinu shalcha. She says, you can do tshuva, you have nothing. Everything you have is stolen. You're not going to own your socks or your belt. You know, you have nothing. You can't do tshuva. V'nimna v'los tshuva. Part of this Gemara is you see the value of a good wife and the how bad it is to have a wife who's not so good, right? She exerts a powerful influence. So he was ready to do tshuva, and she stopped him. She said, "You know, you have nowhere to do tshuva. You're not going to be able to live if you do tshuva." So Bos Hashah Amrus, Chazal determined, Hagazlonin umalvei ribis shechziru ein mekabel mehem, that when a gazlan returns something to you, you shouldn't accept it. You should say, "Don't worry, I'm ochel, it's fine," and that way it will make it easier for him to do tshuva. V'mekabel mehem ein ruacham nochei menu, and if you do accept it, then it's ein ruacham nochei menu. Then the chum aren't so happy with you. So Tashma says, "We're bringing a raya. Harom v'gaboyin v'mochsin chuvasun kasha. If you have shepherds or gaboy tzedakah or tax collectors, it's very hard for them to do tshuva because there's no way they could possibly remember who they stole from. They stole from so many people, you know. With no, it's like that guy in Muncie that sold all the tray for chickens, right? So he sent a letter to the community. I wish I could do tshuva and pay you all back." But he has no idea. He can't possibly track down everyone that had a tray for chicken from him, right? There's no way. It's very, very hard. When you machti the rabbim, so it's very hard to do tshuva. And when you go niv the rabbim, it's very hard to do tshuva. How are you gonna pay back every single person? A person cheats on his taxes. So everybody's taxes go up a little bit. How in the world are you gonna do tshuva? How do you pay back every single person that you wronged? Umachzirin lemakirim. But if you do know that you stole from somebody, so return to that person. Samri Machzirin Vein Mekabel Mehem. So the Gemara says, yeah, you do return it, but they're not supposed to accept it. Meaning, if you do know who you stole from, you're supposed to try, and then the person should say, no, it's okay, I'm mochel. Velolam Machzirin, so then why do I return it? If the guy is supposed to not be Mekabel, Lotzei Sidei Shemayim, V'yotzei Yidei Shemayim, that's why you do it. So frankly, Gemara, Ihachi Amai Tshuvasan Kasha. Well, then what's so hard about the tshuva? Meaning we're saying, no, this is not a stira to say that tshuvas and kasha, that their tshuva is very hard, is not a stira to what we said before, that you're not supposed to be mekabel, because you're only machzir to be latzei sidei shemayim. So the Gemara says, well, why is the tshuva so hard then, if you're only machzir to be latzei sidei shemayim? So says the Rav Yosef Engel, l'chorim, my parech, what kind of kasha is that? Harel kolpanim le'inyan latzis yidei shemayim tshuvasim kasha. But still, latzis yidei shemayim, it's still very hard because you still got to track down everybody that you did wrong to, right? So it's still very hard. So he says, let me explain what I think pshat in this gemara is. It's a beautiful format that he has. He starts with the gemara Bava Kamma, asks the kasha, says, okay, now let's put aside the gemara Bava Kamma, forget about it for a while. I'm going to explain to you Tosfos Maseches Gittin. That Tosfos Maseches Gittin will open up a door for us in halacha, will allow us to see a very critical rule in halacha. Once we appreciate that rule, we'll be able to say pshat in that gemara Bava Kamma again. So what's the Tosfos in Gittin? Tosfos in Gittin appears a couple of places in Shas. Daf Mem Aleph and Ralph in Gittin. It comes up in Maseches Bava Basra. A few places in Shas. Tosfos talks about the situation of a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben choron. The Gemara talks about the Mishnayos and Idios talk about chatzi eved v'chatzi ben choron. Someone's half slave, half free man. Right. So what's the halacha by half slave, half free man? What do you do? First of all, how does a person become a half slave, half free man? How do you pull off such a trick?
He stole.
No, chatzi eved, chatzi ben chor means half eved kanani. Someone who steals and is enslaved is an eved ivri. Chatzi eved, chatzi ben chor means, so normally eved kanani is a guy, and then once he's free, he's a Jew, right? But he's half free. How do you become half free? Can the master say, I half free you? It doesn't work like that. So let's say I can't afford to buy my own eved, or I don't need to buy my own eved, I only need to work 3 days a week, let's say. So I chip in with you to buy an eved. And we split his work. We both own the Eved together. Me and you own an Eved. And then you're a nice guy, and you decide to violate the Yisrael Daraisa and to free the Eved. Sasami Daraisa to free an Eved Kanani. But you decide you're going to do it because you feel so bad for him. So you're going to free the Eved Kanani. I decide I don't want to free the Eved Kanani. So you have freed him. I haven't. We're partners in him. So he is now half free, half slave. So the Mishnayos discuss, how does such a person get married? Right, what do we do? Or how do you deal with such a person? How do you even figure out his work schedule? So Beis Hillel says he'll work for himself one day and then for the master the other day. He'll switch off one day the next day, right? So Beis Shammai says, well, tikantam es atzmo, tikantam es rabo, avol es atzmo lo tikin. You're great. You figured it all out for the remaining owner. But Nebuch, this poor guy, he can't get married. Because who's he going to marry? Normally an Eved is allowed to marry a Shivcha. This guy's half Jewish. He's half free man. He can't marry a Shivcha. Normally, a free man, an Eved, has already been freed, marries a Jewish woman. But he's half Eved, so he can't marry a Jewish woman. So he's stuck. And Lo Sovra, Lo Shevis Yitzara, the world was created to populate the world. So Nebuch, he's not going to be able to get married. So the Beis Shammai says, now here's what you do. You force the remaining master to free him. And the Eved will owe half of his value to that master. To pay him back, he'll have to work it off and pay back that master for half of his value. Because you got to let him get married. You can't let him, you know, Nebuch right away and not get married. What does the Gemara say? Why do you have to free him? Because, the Mishnah says, because... And this is one of the examples where the Beis Hillel rechozer lehoros kedivrei Beis Shammai, that the Beis Hillel changed their mind and said, you know what, Beis Shammai, you're right. We changed our mind. You got to free him. But why? Because he has to get married. Why does he need to get married? What?
To fill the world with people.
L'shevis Yitzara. Is that why? What's the mitzvah to have children? The mitzvah to have children, when you talk about the mitzvah to have children, you think of L'shevis Yitzara. The mitzvah to have children. Pruruvu. Perivrivyo. Right? Why doesn't it say Pruruvu? Why is that? L'shevis Yitzara? It's such an obscure thing. A pasuk in Navi about, populating the world. It's a more basic mitzvah d'oraisa. Parsh Bereshis, Parsh Noach, Pruruvu.
At the time, he wasn't a Jew, and his own mitzvah.
Okay, he was half Jewish, and it could be that it's a chiyuv amidena. Okay, good, it's a possibility. Says Tosos over there, Dilakach nakat b'masnis and dalsam asay de sheves v'lasay de pruruvu. The reason we picked the pasuk of the sheves not pruruvu, yishum dasay de sheves adifa, because sheves is a better, stronger type of mitzvah. Why? He says he's potter from the mitzvah of Puruvu because he's honest, meaning he can't get married. What are you going to say? That someone is chayiv in Puruvu if he's unable to have children? He's unable to have children. He's not chayiv in Puruvu. He's potter. He's an honest. But L'sheves, he's not potter from. L'sheves, we would free him for. That he's not off the hook from. So that's from Yosef Engel. How does that make any sense? Why is he Patur from Pur Ravu? Because he's never Chachatzi Ever Chachatzi Merchum. He can't get married, so he's Patur from Pur Ravu. Isn't that also the reason that he's Patur from Sheves? How can you say no? But he's really Chayiv in Sheves. What do you mean he's really Chayiv in Sheves? He can't get married. How's he supposed to populate the world? So says Yosef Engel, here's the Yisod. V'nir lani as daiti. Dine hada onus rachmana patre yalfina mivlanar los hasadavar. When we have a pasuk, when we have a din called onus rachmana patre, that someone who's an onus is exempt and is not going to be punished, we learn that out from a case of a rape. The Torah describes of Nebuch rachmana litzlan, a girl gets raped, that we don't punish her for having an immoral relationship with this man, because she's an onus. It's the very definition of onus. It was forced upon her, so it wasn't her fault at all. Vizeu achba onish lad. That's when it comes to violation of a los asay. So she's not going to get punished because it was an ones. Aval sheyoil ha-ones liftar mikiyum asay? But to say that an ones should exempt you from a mitzvah, zelo matzinu, that we don't find. Denehidu l'chorei nafkimine yichayev alo, desof sof ha-ones huvein yachol l'kayim. So he says, granted, it doesn't really seem to make much of a difference to the halacha, because if you can't do it, you can't do it. But in Kalza Achrayin Yimsu Kamen Afkusos Bezei, he says, you'll see, there are nafkaminas. So what does he say? That when it comes to a mitzvah saseh, if you're honest and you can't do a mitzvah saseh, it's not that you're pater, legamri. No, no, you're still included in that mitzvah saseh. God just forgives you for not being able to do it. God says it's okay that you can't do it, and it's okay that you didn't do it because I understand that you can't do it. L'may nafkamina, so he says nafkamina is as follows. Tfilas Tashlumin, we were just talking about before. Drisha and the Taz have fundamental machlokas. What if a person didn't daven because he was anus? So does he do Tashlumin? So he says, machlokas Drisha and the Taz. Drisha and the Taz. Machlokas between the Drisha and the Taz. What?
The household by someone else's shach, the neighbor's shach.
The Drisha on the bottom of the tour and the Taz. So he says, the Taz in Orchaim is in Kuf Chesiv Katan Aleph. Whether Ones patters him entirely, and therefore, since he was completely patter, it's not Shaykh Tashlumin because he was totally off the hook anyway. Or maybe he's Mechuyav, but he just couldn't do it, so Hashem's not going to punish him for it. But if you were Mechuyav, the Chiyav was Chal, so then you got to make it up. So he says, that's completely Tully on this issue. So says Rav Yosef Engel, but here's what I think about this issue. The top of the second column over there. V'nir lani as daiti d'yesh la'achriya pesha davar b'plukta zos d'yesh beiz mine mitzvos. He says, is ones pater entirely, or is it that you chayiv, you just can't do it? He says, I think it depends on what kind of mitzvah we're talking about, and here's the key to the whole thing. Aleph, one type of mitzvah is mitzvos shebein adam l'makom levad. Mitzvos that only affect your relationship with God and have no other earthly application. They don't affect anybody else or anything else. It's just between you and God. He says, in such a mitzvah, Hashem is not going to be unreasonable. Hashem will say, you're totally off the hook. You're totally pata. Because you're honest. You can't do it. So in terms of your relationship with God, don't worry. There's no chiyuv whatsoever. You're totally pata. Okay. You do whatever you can, and whatever, forget the rest. You know, you can't do more, and that's it. Hashem says there's no chiyuv. Second type of mitzvah, though, is mitzvos shebein adam lechaveru, mitzvos that involve other people and actually affect other people. For instance, asiyas maka. I couldn't build a fence on my roof. I couldn't get up there. I couldn't get the building materials available. Anus. I couldn't do it. And then a guy falls off my roof. I was honest, I couldn't do it. So you say that there's no chiyuv whatsoever? Nah. There's an impact. There's an impact of not having a fence on your roof. Priyas Balchov, I have to pay back money that I borrowed. I'm honest, I don't have anything. I lost my job, I don't have anything. So I'm honest. Yeah, but there's an impact. The impact is still being felt by other people. When there's still an impact on other people, where there's a toelis to somebody else in the mitzvah, you can't say that
because you couldn't do it, the chiv just went away. It's as if the chiv never exists. Hashem may not punish you for it, because you couldn't help it, but the chiv doesn't go away. And therefore, if you ever make money again, and you owe somebody the money, what do you have to do? As soon as you make money, pay it back. Because you had the chiv. If you would say, no, the chiv just goes away, there's no chiv whatsoever, so then even if you make money later on, you wouldn't have to pay it back. So that's the distinction he's drawing between mitzvahs that affect somebody else and mitzvahs that don't. So he says, now I understand what Tosfos and Gittin is talking about. What does Tosfos say? For the sake of Puravu, we wouldn't free the servant. Because, he's pater, he's nanos. There's nothing there, there's no chiyuv. But for Lasheves Yitzara, that we would free the servant. What's the difference? So he says, Puravu is the first type of mitzvah. Puravu is my personal chiyuv to God that I'm supposed to have children. It's my personal chiyuv to God. If I'm honest, I can't do it. Okay, pater. There's no chiyuv whatsoever. So you're not going to free a slave. The guy's pater. Right? He's completely pater from it. However, l'sheves yitzara. What does l'sheves yitzara mean? Populate the world. That means make the world a different place. Make the world a better place by having more good, upstanding citizens that you're going to father and raise and whatever, right? Make the world a better place. So you could say from today till tomorrow that I'm pater, I'm honest, I can't do it, right? Yeah, but at the end of the day, did you make the world a better place with more people? There's an effect that you're supposed to have on society. And you haven't actually had that effect. So that kind of honesty, it's true. God will forgive you if you're an honest and you can't do it. But the mitzvah doesn't go away entirely. That tikkun ha'olam that you're supposed to have is still in effect. So he says, I understand very well what Tosfos is talking about. When it comes to Yaseh of Puravu, the evidence pater legamri because of his onus. So you're not going to force the Adon to be Meshachar him because of that. He's totally pater. He's not Mechuyev at all. But the Asay of Sheves, where you're supposed to actually have an effect on society, it's just that you're unable to do it. So then we are called for the Adon to force him, to free him, because you still want to be able to have that effect. Says Rav Yosef Engel, now let's go back to the Gemara in Baba Kama. On the top of page Memches, within the next page, Lufiza Yuvanu Hetiv Divrei Hashas Baba Kama Anal. Now we understand very well what the Gemara in Baba Kama was talking about. Because of the cases you stole from people and you have no idea who to return the money to, imkein havle onus ato b'mitzvah hashava. You're an ones in the mitzvah of hashava, in the mitzvah of returning that which you stole, because you don't know who to return it to. Ella. But if you still owed the money, minadin, and the halacha were that this guy is supposed to accept the money, you owe the money, you have to give it to him, and that, then being an onus would not have made the mitzvah go away. It just would have made Hashem forgive you. I mean, it would have made Hashem say, okay, I know you can't do it, but the mitzvah would still be in place. Right, you still have that chiyuv. Alkein shapir hayu tshuvas and kasha. Then I understand very well that it's very difficult to do tshuva because you have the chiyuv right there and you can't do anything about it. So that's difficult. Kivin shein yachol lekayim chiyuvo. Aval kivin damer tchiyuvo hu ach latzei sidei shemayim. But once the gemara is mechadesh that your whole chiyuv is only latzei sidei shemayim, which means klape the other person, you have no chiyuv because he's not allowed to accept it from you. So it's not about what you're going to do for him when you give it back. He's out of the picture already. Why do you have to return it? What does that mean? That the entire mitzvah is between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. What do we say about an ones in that kind of mitzvah when it's entirely between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam? What? That's completely pater, right? You're totally off the hook. Imkein achiyuv ach beino vein amakom levad. Imkein kivin shuvanos hata vein yachol lahashiv shuv legamri pater. V'amai tshuvasim kasha. That's what the Gemara says. Amai tshuvasim kasha. What's so hard? What's the problem? It's between you and God, and you're not us. He says, "Vidok ki nachan hu bez Hashem Yisparach." And he says, gives himself a pat in the back. He says, "This is good. This is some good Torah." Now, what's this idea? The idea is that we're willing to say, "Anas Rachman Apatre," that you're off the hook, and that the mitzvah is not even there. It's completely externally, you know, it's completely gone. It disappears when the mitzvah has no impact on anybody else. But if the mitzvah is going to impact somebody else, if it somehow affects other people, you could be honest from today till tomorrow, but you didn't have the desired impact on other people that you're supposed to have. So Hashem may not punish you per se, but you got to accomplish what you got to accomplish. The mitzvah is still there. A similar concept is used by the Avnei Nezer to explain why we have to spend so much money on Pesumim Nisa. It's not exactly the same words, but it's a very similar concept. When it comes to spending money on a mitzvah, why is it on Vazis Yosher Mechomesh that you don't spend more than 20% of your money on a mitzvah? Because you're an anus. You have to be reasonable. You have to live like a reasonable person. And it's an anus. You can't. You can't give all your money away for one mitzvah. Then you're not going to have any money to eat. So it's an anus. When it's between you and God, and that's the whole mitzvah, Hashem says you're pater. It's fine. You don't have to spend more than 20%. But what does Pesumei Nisa mean? What do the words mean? You're publicizing. What does publicizing mean? If I go in the middle of the desert and no one walks by, if I light in a open area, is that Pesumei Nisa? No, because nobody sees it. What? You have a chiv in their Chanukah. Right? But it may not be Pesumei Nisa. So is it Pesumei Nisa? It's not Pesumei Nisa. Pesumei Nisa means you have to achieve the result of actually publicizing the miracle. So if I can't afford, Rachman al-San, a guy can't afford Ner Chanukah, can't pay for it, it's more than 20% of his money, it's so expensive, it's beyond what he could afford. So you'll say, oh, Anas Rachman al-Patre. Great, but at the end of the day, was he mefarsim the nes? Did he have that impact on society that people were able to see that there's Ner Chanukah? No. And therefore, the chiv is still there. He may not be punished so badly for, but the chiv is still there. And maybe that's why built into every Pesumei Nisa mitzvah is that there's no p'tur onus. Is that you still have to do it. You got to do whatever you can to make sure it gets done. To make sure it gets accomplished. Mechavrusa, Rabbi Razner, over Shabbos, wanted to connect this to... it's a little bit of a tenuous connection. It's a little bit of a different idea, but worth mentioning. In this week's parsha, Avraham Avinu stands in Pesach HaOhel. Why is he standing in Pesach HaOhel? Because he's very distraught. He's distraught because Hashem was motzi chama min artika. Hashem took the sun out of its protective covering, made it boiling, boiling hot, and therefore there were no travelers. And because there were no travelers, there were no guests. So Avram was very upset. He wanted guests, and he didn't have the opportunity to do the mitzvah of Echanas Sorochim. Ask Rav Moshe Feinstein, Drash Moshe. He says, let's say you see a guy, and he's crying. You say, what are you so upset about? What are you crying about? The guy says, ugh. I want to do the mitzvah of Shabbos. I can't. Well, it's because it's Monday. You can't do Shabbos on Monday. He's like, I know, but it's so sad. I want to be able to do Shabbos. So what do you do with such a person? You chuck him into a mental institution, right? He's a crazy person. That's not normal. You're not chayiv in Shabbos. It's not Shabbos. It's Monday. Right? There's no chayiv of the mitzvah at all. Says Avram Avinu standing outside. I can't do Echanas Orchim. There are no Orchim. There's no mitzvah. You have no chiyuv. You can't do Echanas Orchim. What are you so worried about? Right? Strong kasha, no? So Rav Moshe suggests that there's tzvei dinim in Echanas Orchim. In Chesed in general. One din in chesed is be memali chesrona. If someone's lacking, you have to take care of him. Do what has to be done to take care of him. But then there's another din. That it's not about you filling his need.
It's that we need to become a giver. We need to practice giving in order to become better people. Be'nadam la'atzma. It makes us better. It gives us more olam haba. It gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu more reason to reward us and to have a relationship with us. So this is, yeah, Avraham Avinu knew that there was no need, and if there was no need to fill, he had no chiyuv of hachnas orchin. What am I going to do about me? That's the Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara tells the Tirnasrafis and Rabbi Akiva. Tirnasrafis of Rashi says to Rabbi Akiva, philosophical question, he says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is oev aniyim, right? Hashem loves poor people. So Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, that's correct. So Tirnasrafis says, why doesn't he give them money? If Hashem loves them so much, why doesn't he give them money? Then they won't be poor. It's a good philosophical question, no? So Rukiva says to Tirnasrafis, no, you got it all backwards. Hashem doesn't give us a mitzvah to support poor people so that the poor people can be supported. They're going to make whatever money they're going to make one way or the other. It won't change one bit. No matter how large a check I write out, it does not change one bit what that person's going to make. He's going to make whatever Hashem wants him to make. He'll get whatever Hashem wants him to get. You know what it does, though? Lahatzileinu, lahatzilanu midina shel gehenim. Hashem gives us the mitzvah of tzedakah not because the poor people need it, but because we need it to save us midina shel gehenim. So this chiluk sort of turns this idea on its head, right? That when you have a mitzvah to accomplish towards somebody else, so if there is no somebody, so we've been taking from Rav Yosef Engel's perspective is that if there's that somebody else that needs this result, you could be anus and pater from today till tomorrow, but the result's not achieved. Nebuch, they need the result. So Rosh is saying almost like the opposite of art. And if there's no need for it, and the result doesn't have to be achieved, so you're pater in terms of the klape somebody else. But what about klape you and Hashem? You still have to worry about that part of it. Right? You can't be completely left off the hook. Anyway, similar but again different kind of chiluk. So now, given that, so when it comes to mitzvahs prasuminisa, so we pointed out that maybe when it comes to mitzvah prasuminisa, we have to go beyond what we would normally do because there's a result that we're trying to achieve. So if you took a look, if you took a look at this Avnei Nezer. Avnezer is bothered. Why is it that by mitzvah star raisa ein levazvez yosem yichamesh? We never levazvez. We never spend more than 20% of our money. But dalit kosos ner chanukah mitzvah star rabbanan, we have to even sell our clothing for mitzvah star rabbanan. Right? Why do we have to do that? There's a discussion, for instance. There are a few exceptions. Some vazvaz yosim yichamesh. There's a long bir halacha and some tafresh nun vav about all the exceptions, the cases in the Gemara that seem like exceptions. Some vazvaz. For instance, the Gemara in Kiddushin talks about hu liftos ubno liftos ve'ino el chamesh slaim. You realize that you're a bechor and you never had a pidyon ben, and your son is a bechor and he hasn't had a pidyon ben yet, but all you got is 5 slaim, which is what it costs for pidyon ben. What do you do? Which one gets pidyon ben? So that's the Bir Halacha. What do you mean, which one? I'll tell you which one. Neither. Why neither? Because what's the rule? How much money do you spend on mitzvahs? 20% of your money. If all you got is chamesh slaim, what percentage of your money is the chamesh slaim that it's going to cost for pidyon ben? 100%. Right? You don't have to spend all your money on a mitzvah. So what's the Gemara even hacking about? Who lift those? B'nai lift those? What do you mean? Who lift those? B'nai lift those? If all you got is chamesh slaim, nobody should you shouldn't have a mitzvah pidyon, neither one of you. That's a kasha the Bir Halacha raises. Rabbi Kohn told me he's had situations of who liftos and no liftos. Rabbi Kohn is a kohen, as you might have guessed, and he's very often the kohen in pidyon haben, right? For pidyon haben, people like to get a special kohen, like a real tzaddik. So very often they choose Rabbi Kohn to be the kohen. It happens to be that in certain years, when they were producing American dollars, the silver dollars, in certain years they didn't put any real silver in the silver dollars. I think in the mid-70s or so, they stopped putting silver in the silver dollars. And very often people will come to Rabbi Cohen and say, I want to use the same silver dollars that were used for my Pidyon HaBen when I was born, for my son. So Rabbi Cohen will look at the silver dollars and see they were from the 1970s. And he'll say, not only will we not use these, but it's who lift us, who no lift us. You need a new Pidyon HaBen also. Sometimes it happens. And Baruch Hashem, most of those cases people could afford to do both, right? But anyway, let me just close with this idea. So the Avnei Nezer writes in Tav Kaf Aleph that the reason that by other mitzvahs we're not mechayiv a person to sell his clothing to be mechayiv a mitzvah is because if a person wants to do a mitzvah but he can't afford it, he's an anus, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers a kilu asa, Hashem will consider it as if you did it. So you don't have to sell your clothing, because even if you don't sell your clothing, you wanted to do the mitzvah, Hashem gives you credit for it. But a mitzvah that involves presuming nisa, like Ner Chanukah, like Dalet Kosos, if you don't do the mitzvah, it's not ki'ilu you did it. You could have had all the good machshavas in the world. I wanted to do it. I meant to do it. But l'maisa, no one saw it. So you didn't accomplish what needed to be accomplished. It's a goal-oriented mitzvah. It's not just a maisa-oriented mitzvah. I'm doing this maisa. There's a goal that you need to accomplish. So then, you're going to even have to be mocher k'susa. And says Maram Shik in the Tshuva, and that's why who liftos, who beno liftos, you do have to do your last five slot and you got to spend on Pidyon HaBen. Why? Because Pidyon HaBen is not just a maisa-oriented mitzvah, it's a goal-oriented mitzvah. Certainly for your son. It affects him, whether he's going to be niftar or not. So it affects his relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, not just yours. And whenever there's an impact on somebody else, you're going to spend more than 20% of your money. So that's the approach of the Avnei Nezer. Maybe tomorrow we'll take a look at that Magen Mishnah and Lechem Mishnah a little bit, and maybe discuss a little more about Vazir Zali, Vazir Zali, Yosem Yichomesh. And then we'll move on from there and see what we got in Daf Kuf.